Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. We talked about being sober last time, sober-minded. But he calls us to be sober-minded, a sober in spirit, be on the alert, because our enemy, our adversary, that's enemy, the devil, diabolos, we speak of the Satanas, we speak of the accuser of the brethren. Satan means opposer, devil means accuser or slanderer. And he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I want to talk to you this evening about one of his biggest tactics that I think that we need to be aware of, and that many Christians need to be aware of, that many Christians aren't aware of it. And that is, and if we miss this, we miss the whole need for Jesus. And that is, the enemy has such a toehold in much of the church in getting the church to think that really, you know, we need Jesus for different things. We need God for different things. But guess what? We don't really need the forgiveness of our sins. Or we're not really that bad. We need him to help rectify our situation or what have you. But, you know, our plight isn't really that bad. In fact, I was reading an article that caught my eye, and it was like Rod Stewart's ex-wife gets through life because of her faith, you know? It was in a secular news outlet. And I thought, oh, I wonder what they're going to say about her faith. Is it faith in Christ? You know, what? You know, you don't usually see that. And as I started to read the article, you know, I thought, oh, wow. You know, she's talking about her best friend, Farrah Fawcett and stuff. And I thought, okay, interesting kind of article. And when's it going to get to her faith? So I just kind of scanned through it to look for this faith issue. And she talks about how, you know, ever since she was young, she was brought up with a grandmother that was very strict but very God-fearing, you know, and that she taught her the Bible. And that she's never strayed from those core convictions she learned from the Bible. And I thought, wow, okay, so far so good. And then she says, and I had a hard time accepting myself when I was young, because, and sadly, it was a sad testimony in regard to when she was young, her dad had she'd never seen her dad, and then her mom had OD'd on drugs. And that would be sad. But then she said she realized, then when she realized the spiritual aspect, through therapy and her spirituality, she came to understand that God sees all of us as perfect. And that really, you know, she was saying there's that sin's not a problem. That we're not really sinners, because not in God's eyes, God sees everybody as perfect. Is that biblical? No. And I was like, oh, Lord God, you know, you think, okay, oh, wow, Jesus might be getting lifted up here on a secular news site. And then my heart just sunk. I was like, oh, man, do we really understand? I mean, can we really have the gospel if, you know, God sees us as perfect? How does God see us? And I want to let you know, this is important, because one of the enemy's greatest tactics is to get us to believe that we're not sinners. In 1 John, many of you know that John is dealing, what group of insurrectionists or what kind of cultic group was infiltrating the church that 1 John was writing to there in Ephesus? Anybody remember? The Gnostics. And you remember, the Gnostics believed that there was no sin, because if you revolted against Yahweh, the creator, that's a good thing, because Yahweh was, you know, even though he was our creator, he wasn't really the ultimate God, and he was trying to hem us in, right? So 1 John, we read this in verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, if somebody believes that they have not sinned, they don't believe that they need to be saved from their sin, amen? Or if somebody believes that everybody is perfect in God's eyes, how in the world are you going to share Jesus as a savior of the world with them, amen? And that's why throughout the scripture, there's an emphasis on reality. We got to live in Realville, okay? We can't be, you know, pretending that this is the way, because, you know, we have such a high opinion of the human race, you know? We want to believe that, you know, everything's sweet and nice, but it's not. We know we lock our doors. We know children from their infancy, you know? Kids can be really tough. And we know our prison systems are filled and everything else. We know there's a problem, man. There's a real problem with sin. But Satan is the father of lies, and he wants us to believe we can come to God in all these different ways. And he doesn't want us to believe that we're sinners. Or if we do believe we're sinners, he doesn't want us to believe that we could be saved. Or he wants us to believe we could be saved through what? Works righteousness, right? Or Mormonism, or through the Watchtower, or through some other path. But he's the enemy of our soul. So I think it's important that we understand that we need to have victory over the schemes of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. One of his greatest devices, and that's what he did through Gnosticism. Gnosticism denied sin in the human race and claimed to represent Christianity, claimed to represent Jesus. Okay, that was one of Satan's early lies. That's why 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 was written to combat this lie. But today, it's a very powerful lie as well. I mean, how often do you hear people at work, when they're talking about things, use the word sin? How often do you hear people at school, unless they're your brothers and sisters in Christ and you fellowship with them and you have a Bible club, but I'm talking about the teacher, other students just talking about sin. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want it to be something where they've actually offended a thrice holy God and broken his holy law. The Bible says sin is transgression of the law in 1 John. Isn't it interesting that one of the best definitions of sin we have is in 1 John? Why do you think that is? Because it's combating the Gnostics. He's letting us know that, guess what? Our God has given us a law, and sin is transgression of that law. Now, it's interesting for this new radio show we have, we're on a topic dealing with the culture of death, confronting the culture of death. So since the school shootings have just been rampant in our country, and they don't seem to be turning around, I jotted down 15 different things that people blame for the rash of school shootings. One of the things that I wrote down was mental illness. A lot of people think, well, Adam Lanza was mentally ill. And the idea, and I'm not saying he didn't have mental illness. Guess what? I found out, folks, reading the scripture, everybody has a degree of mental illness. Every time we blow it in sin, we don't use our mental faculties in the right way. And we're sick, the Bible teaches, from head to toe. Amen? Now, granted, there are other specific, you know, things that are categorized as mental illness, but sometimes people use mental illness as a license to exonerate people from responsibility. For instance, an insanity plea in a court of law has sprung many a person. However, Adam Lanza, I believe, knew what he was doing. I don't have any doubt about it. I mean, he was calculating. He shot his mother in the face. That's a statement. The FBI is trying to piece together his hard drive because he destroyed it before he went on his murder spree. He was trying to hide something, okay? I think that's evident. He was a thinking person. He was calculating in his evil. That's sin, folks. Now, you can say that he had a mental illness to go along with his sinful nature, but he had a sinful nature that he acted out upon. In fact, I was reading a testimony that was reported in the Daily Mail a few weeks ago. By the way, have you heard the big report about what Adam Lanza was all about? Did it even come out? We're talking how many, what's it, a month plus now or something? And we're still waiting to find out what the police found out? I know personally to be very careful about what I hear even after, from the media, but also even from law enforcement to a degree. There's some great people in law enforcement. Praise God for them. But I know when I interviewed Cassie Bernal's father, and I flew to Colorado, and I interviewed him for They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, because I myself was already showing in a video we were putting together, Rammstein singing about going into the schoolyard and bloodying, killing people and bloodying up their clothes and everything else. And these guys were radically into Rammstein. And Rammstein was interviewed by MTV. Okay, they were into you guys. Do you have any songs that would encourage us? No, all of our songs are about love and the different nuances of love. Really? This is a bold-faced lie that was reported on MTV. I knew there was a lot more going on. And when I interviewed Cassie Bernal's dad, and that's in the 10-hour version, probably have him maybe almost 25 minutes in that version. And I play audio tape of Claybold and Harris, who were involved in the Columbine murders, specifically stating that they're going to go after kids that have the What Would Jesus Do bracelets on, which were popular then. Now, the media was saying, oh, they hated jocks. They were made fun of and da-da-da-da. They didn't talk about how they're going to go down to the gym and kill jocks. They went to the library, and they went after believers wherever they could find them. I'm not saying that was your only motive. There was a lot of things at work. We know that Eric Harris was into Darwinism and survival of the fittest. I talked about that before. Just read an interesting quote by a lawyer who represented six of the families of six of the children that were killed at Columbine. And he said, well, I went through all of Eric Harris's writings and everything they shot, him and Claybold, and everything they wrote. And it was real clear that he was a full-blown Darwinist, and that helped motivate, or that was behind a lot of what he thought he was doing. You didn't hear that in the media. You didn't hear they were going after Christians, you know, what would Jesus do, in the mainstream media. I didn't hear it. But guess what? When I asked Cassie's dad about it, he got teary-eyed. He said, you know what? All of us parents that lost kids, we walked through this with law enforcement. And it was clear to every one of us knew they were going after Christians. That was a big part of it. But when it came out to the media and they reported to the media, that didn't come out. That was hidden. That was covered up. He says that in the video. And I don't believe the enemy wants to know us to know what's really going on. Thank God we have the scripture, amen. Thank God we could read that we have a fallen nature and it's wicked, it's sinful. And Lanza's friend, and this came out in the Daily Mail, but it wasn't reported on widely, but one of his school friends stated that Adam Lanza had a devil-worshipping site. And this was reported in the Daily Mail. You can just Google Daily Mail, Lanza, devil-worshipping, and where he had devil written in red Gothic-style letters with a black background. Trevor L. Todd is his friend's name from the past, and he said it was weird and gave him the chills. Well, how much did you hear that, you know? And why aren't we being told what this guy was about? I think part of the reason is the scapegoat is to deal with issues that will further agendas. In fact, one of the things on the list of being blamed, probably more than anything else in the media, is guns. And we have Second Amendment rights to bear arms to protect ourselves, if you look at that amendment. And we're one of the few countries on the planet that actually has that right. Did you know that? To protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. Now, I'm not here advocating one thing or another on that, in regard to that issue, although I'm thankful that we have the right to protect ourselves and our families. However, I am here to say there's a lot of issues that are being ignored. And one of the issues you did not hear very often in the media, everything was being blamed, mental illness, guns, all these different things, but one of the things they forgot to blame was Adam Lanza. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that a blow mind? It's because he had this, or because he had access to his mother's gun. What about the human race? What about not just Adam Lanza? What about all of us that we have sinful hearts? And you can try to protect people from people that have a bona fide mental illness, as it's based on the criteria of those who are making decisions. But guess what? There's an old cartoon where the character says, Pogo, I believe it is, we've met the enemy and it is us. We're the ones with the problem. The human race has an incredible problem called sin, and we can't blame God.
You're listening to a message by pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings.
James chapter 1, I want you to go there. Well, don't go there. We're going to go to a lot of verses. I'll just read it to you. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived by sin. Don't be deceived in thinking that sin won't bring death to you. That's why you need to repent of sin and put our faith in Jesus. Amen. So the problem is us. And you can't blame God when you're tempted or say God's tempting you, because he's righteous. He's good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. There's no sin or no evil in him. He's absolutely perfect. But since he has given us free will, we have the capacity to choose against him, against his will. And whenever we choose against God, we choose sin. And that's part of our fallen human nature, isn't it? The first sinner's name was what? Adam. Adam Lanza belonged to the Adams family. You ever watch the Adams family when you were a little kid? It tried to make horror characters look hip, tried to make them look cool. The Munsters, yeah. They dressed nice and everything, and it put a spin on evil. That evil could be refined. It can look good. It's not all that bad. It can be, you know, but guess what? We're part of the Adams family, but we're all descendants of Adam. Original sin goes back to Adam's original rebellion against God as the federal head of our race who represented all of us, rebelled against God. And we've inherited his sinful nature. We have. Now, if a child dies, when a baby's born, they've inherited that fallen nature. If a baby dies, the Catholic Church says, hey, they're sinners, they're guilty because of original sin, and therefore they must be baptized in the Catholic Church or they go to limbo, which is like hell. Well, the Bible teaches that in Ezekiel chapter 18, that we're not accountable for somebody else's sin, that nobody could say, hey, the children's teeth are set on edge because of the sins of the fathers. However, the Bible also teaches original sin, and that is that we inherit a sinful nature and that we're accountable for our own sin. It says the soul that sins will die. However, a child, as we know, who falls short of God's glory and sins isn't convicted before God as a rebel against God until that child reaches the age of what? Accountability. That's why David could say that he knew he'd be with his child again that died at birth. That's why the children of those parents who rebelled against God in the wilderness, the children were able to go into the promised land. That's why God pleads with Jonah in his heart, because Jonah doesn't want to preach to the Ninevites because he doesn't want God to spare them. And he reminds them that there's thousands of children there that don't know their left hand from their right, that aren't accountable. That's why in Romans 7, Paul says that when he's a child, he said, I didn't know what sin was until the law came and I became aware of sin. But as soon as children become aware that they're offending God and they're in rebellion to him, they're accountable. And I say this because it's important that we understand what the Bible teaches in regard to original sin. We're accountable for our own sin. However, there's something pretty heavy going on with Adam because Adam did represent us. He was our champion. Just like Goliath represented the Philistines, and David represented God's army because he was a man after God's own heart, and that he's a picture of Jesus facing Antichrist because Goliath had, you know, there's a whole picture that I don't want to get into. It's pretty heavy. Goliath was a radical picture of Antichrist. He represented the Philistines. Adam was our champion. He represented humanity. If you would have put Frank, Tom, Bob, Joe in Adam's place, we would have all blown it because Adam's name means man. Amen. So you say, well, why am I being blamed for Adam's sin? Well, guess what? We have this term we use in theology called corporate solidarity. Corporate solidarity, think of corporation, think of solidarity, something solid, that we're the mass of humanity. And we aren't being held responsible for Adam's sin. We are responsible for our own sin. However, we inherit a sinful nature because we're part of humanity. And I can tell you right now, not one of us would have passed the test. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. In Revelation chapter 5, when John's weeping because there's nobody that's overcome, there's nobody that can take the scroll in heaven or on earth or under the earth, then Jesus is the one that steps forth. Except Jesus, amen. He's the champion, amen. There's a second Adam, amen. So he's the second Adam. But it doesn't matter. Now, humanity, we want, you know, you got what we call secular humanism. You know, we could pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We are righteous. We can create a new world order and there'll be peace. And the UN's fighting for world peace, which is kind of amazing. Because the United Nations, I mean, they've got all kinds of problems with United Nations troops being guilty sometimes of rape, mass rape, all kinds of things. Humanity is the problem, guys. Now, God does say in Romans chapter 13 that he supplied government to suppress evil. If there wasn't government, folk, guess what? There would be anarchy. Everybody would just be killing everybody. So that's one of the main purposes of government, is to suppress evil. So we're not against government. We thank God for government, but we don't want too much of it, amen? And you also don't want too little of it to where you can't call the police if you're in danger. Some people want more government. Some people want less government. And I thank God that I'm looking for the perfect government. That's when Jesus Christ returns, amen? to defeat this the Antichrist and the world system and everything else. But we have to keep in mind, no matter what kind of spin the world puts on itself, we are not to trust man, that man is the problem. To me, the main problem, you could look at 15, 20, 25, 50, 100 different things that make this culture that we live in dark, and many of them which were influential on Adam Lanza and the other school shooters, guess what the main thing is? Fallen human nature. That's the main culprit. Because when Adam rebelled against God, and he was created in God's image, if you look at Luke, I think it's around 338, it talks about, you know, it brings the genealogy all the way back to Adam, and it says so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, and Adam was the son of God. He was created in his image. But then you see Adam bear a child, and it talks about how this child was born in the image of Adam. And we share the image of Adam's fallenness now. We have a fallen human nature. This is vital that we understand. Because the Bible teaches that we were created good. Ecclesiastes says that he made us upright, made us good. Genesis chapter 2. And then we fell. So the Bible teaches devolution. Except Satan, one of his big lies is evolution. We started out as slime, but we are ascending to godhood or a Superman race or what have you, depending on the Darwinists you talk to. Some are more modest and say, no, we're just animals, but hey, we've still come a long way, baby. And it's all backwards, and it's a lie as though we're getting better and better when the Bible says we're getting worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13, amen. And Jesus said lawlessness would increase. And we have to watch out because, man, you can dress up a pig and you could dress up a dog and it might look cute and everything, but it's a pig and it's a dog. And humanity is in huge trouble. In fact, Jesus, dealing with the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may be clean also. Then he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's why Jesus said our righteousness must supersede the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We're going to enter heaven. You see, there was an internal problem. The sinful nature, the depravity of man. I do believe in total depravity and what the Bible teaches in regard to total depravity. That sin and the fall has affected the total aspect of our humanity. Body, soul, spirit, mind, it's all affected totally. No doubt about it. So when we say total depravity, I use the term total depravity because I do believe that we are totally depraved just like the Calvinist. I just happen to believe that God doesn't will that any would perish, and that he draws all men to himself, and the grace that brings salvation appears to all men, and that he is not partial, but he's sincere in his offer of salvation to everybody.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Love, it comes down to just one thing.